In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Today is the first week of the blessed month of Amshir. And we see an interesting passage in John chapter 6, which happened after the 5 loaves and 2 fish. And we see how the Lord, you know, went across the sea without riding a boat. It was a miraculous, and the people were astonished that he made it across the sea, you know, without getting on the boat with the disciples. Of course, he went across the sea miraculously. And when they got to the other side and they came to the Lord Christ, he rebuked them and said, that assuredly I say to you, seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. So you aren't coming after me because you saw the signs, but because you ate and I fed your bellies. And then he tells us, the theme of this week. It says, do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food that endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you. So last month, in the month of Tuba, we saw how the Lord wanted to be sure that the world understood that Christ came for everyone, for all the nations, right? We saw in the month of Kiak, we saw the incarnation of the Son of God. And in the month after, the church wants to tell us that Christ came for all the nations. And then in the month of Amshir, the church will focus on the table of the Lord. Those who were invited, Jews and Gentiles alike, they came and they sat at the table. And what was offered to the Lord at the table, we read today about this passage where he wanted us to focus on the things that are everlasting life, not the things, you know, of the world because they ate their belly. Next week we'll speak about the 5 loaves and 2 fish, the miracle itself. So everything has to do about the table of the Lord. But the point I want to, you know, maybe focus on a little today is the fact that the Lord Christ, when he went across the water, he went across the water in a way that wasn't the customary way of doing things, right? He let the boats go and then he miraculously went across. Oftentimes when God works, he works in a way that's not customary for us. If we were to think, for example, okay, if we needed another priest in the church, what would be the qualifications? What would we look for? We'd have this, 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 and this. This is what we would imagine. But how many of us would imagine somebody who doesn't listen to God, somebody who runs from him, right, and somebody who's stubborn and like thick-headed? How many of us would choose somebody like that? But you know what? God chose somebody like that, and his name was Jonah. And oftentimes when we think of the person of Jonah, who we're going to begin the fast of Jonah tomorrow, we'll commemorate the life of Jonah and his ministry and also the repentance of the Ninevites, we wouldn't think of, you know, Jonah would be somebody that we would maybe put in position to preach. So why is it that God here chose Jonah to be his minister and to go preach to the Gentile nations, the Ninevites? We'll speak about this briefly this morning. Number one, God chose Jonah because he saw that he was qualified. So here we see God qualifies his messengers, right? Not we qualify them, but God qualifies his messengers. He saw something in Jonah that would qualify him for this particular ministry of going outside of the box and ministering to the Gentiles. Perhaps he was capable in the way he spoke, in the way he delivered his message, whatever it might be. But at the end of the day, we know that he preached and the message was responded to and the people repented, right? Regardless of how what took place before, but Jonah was qualified for the message, thus God sent them. Sometimes, perhaps we don't feel qualified for the ministry or for any capacity that the Lord wants us to serve in. I'm being the first, right? But sometimes here God will allow this and he will perfect the minister later. For example, Moses. Moses, he looked at himself when God told him to free the people. He looked at himself and said, I can't. I can't talk. I can't. I stutter. I'm not qualified. Somebody else, send somebody to talk on my behalf, like Aaron. And all of this, he gave all of these excuses why he shouldn't, you know, deliver the message and be the minister. But it was precisely him that God wanted. Why? Because God prepared him for this. Not only was he a Jew and he felt sympathy for the Jews and their situation, he loved them, and also he was fortunate enough to grow up in the house of Pharaoh himself, right? So he knew exactly how the Egyptians thought and everything, and how he can, you know, and he was taught by the education of the Egyptians. That's why in St. Stephen, in Acts, when he gives his oration and he speaks about Moses, he says what? And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. So St. Stephen witnesses that he was mighty in words and deeds. But when Moses was speaking about himself, he says that I stutter and I can't say any gumlatin ala ba'd. I can't say two words, you know, together. All right? So we see here that God, when he calls somebody, he calls them, you know, and he qualifies them. He qualifies the minister. Same thing like when we read in the Acts today was when St. Paul became a Christian. He was called, right? We'll look and say, would we want somebody to be an apostle or a bishop who used to capture Christians and put them in prison and take them before the high priest, right, and torture them? We wouldn't expect this. But he chose him because he saw the zeal that was in his heart, his desire for the truth, right? He saw all this, so he called him. God qualifies and prepares his servants. We can say the same about Samson, right? His strength came from God and qualified him. We can say the same thing about Barnabas, who perhaps wasn't the most eloquent of the apostles, but he had a beautiful quality of encouragement. Right? And perhaps if it wasn't for St. Barnabas, St. Paul wouldn't have been accepted as one of the apostles because he interceded on his behalf before the disciples. Right? So he qualifies his minister. So perhaps he was chosen, Jonah was chosen simply because God qualified him. Number two is that he was a humble servant. Who wrote the book of Jonah? Jonah wrote the book of Jonah, okay? And you look at what's written in the book of Jonah, we get a bad picture of Jonah. How many of us, if we're going to write a memoir, we'll write the bad things out of our life? We wouldn't do that. We'd write the good things, our achievements, our qualifications, perhaps, and so on. But we look in this book, Jonah wrote about his own disobedience to God. And he emphasized it, right? Also in the book, he writes about his indifference on the ship. All of the other pagan seamen or those who were, you know, the sailors on the ship with him were praying to their God, and Jonah was down there, what? Sleeping. He didn't care. I'm sure he felt the boat, you know, being a little rough. But he said, yalla, bethez, you know, it's fine. And they all sleep to this. He didn't care. He didn't care to get up until the sailors came down and asked the prophet to pray to his God. Right? So he speaks about his weaknesses and his deficiencies. He also minimized his role in the part of the mission. He minimized his role. He didn't want himself to be the focus of the story. But yet he focused about God's working with nature and God working with the Ninevites. And he summarized his sermon or his preaching in just a few words. In so many days, the city will be destroyed. That's it. He made it very simple. This is what was recorded by him. Perhaps there is more to it. But he minimized his role. He said like St. John, what? He must increase, and what? I must decrease, right? So again, he minimized his role in the portion. And for those who serve in any capacity in the church, this ought to be the heart of a servant. You know, not to make myself be the one in the front, but actually share or give the praise to those who are working with me, right? Because certainly not one person can do the job by themselves, right? Also, we also see at the end of the book of Jonah, we don't see the result of what happened. We really don't see that, you know, after he kind of goes into the discussion with God about the tree and how it withered, and God told him, you know, I was merciful basically with the tree, or I was merciful to you by giving you the tree, and you didn't like this. Why is it now that you didn't like that I had mercy on the Ninevites and forgave them? So he doesn't mention his response. Perhaps after all of this, his response was probably most likely a positive response. And he glorified God. But he leaves this part out. He leaves all of the accolades and all of the good things. He leaves that out. He left it out. So he was a humble servant. Perhaps this is why God chose Jonah to deliver the message. The third is perhaps God chose Jonah because he was honest with himself and with God. He was honest with himself and with God. When God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" he said, "It is right for me to be angry even to death." So he basically told God what he was feeling. He didn't tell God what he wanted to hear, but he was honest with him. Sometimes, kiddo, when we come into confession and we say the sin and we hear perhaps the rebuke, or maybe we want to say the sin, we're going to say it in such a way so we say to Abuna what he wants to hear and leave out perhaps truly how I was feeling or truly my desire or my motives for a particular sin that I committed. And here, you know, I will never really get true healing from the sacrament of repentance unless I really give everything that I have. And I share with Abuna exactly how I felt. And I'm honest with myself. Saint Augustine says, how can you draw close to God when you are far from your own self? Grant, Lord, that I may know myself so that I may know you. So in order for us to really truly know God, we have to really know ourselves. We have to know our own weaknesses. And Saint Anthony echoed the same sentiment, and he said, "He who knows himself knows God." So it begins, if I really want to know God and I want to get closer to Him, the first step is to what? To know myself and to be honest with myself and my sins and my repentance. Don't hide anything. Don't sugarcoat anything. If you're upset with God, you come to Abuna and you say, "I'm upset with God. I'm angry with God because so and so and so and so." Be completely open. But when I hide things because I want to be like really any kid, look nice in front of Abuna, and I don't want him to take a bad impression of me, who's the one that suffers in the end? It's me. Lying to ourselves is the ultimate deception. Many people, kiddo, we can lie about, you know, things in our life. But at the end of the day, we know the truth. I want to lie to make my image look better or to make myself look impressive before my friends and colleagues. But then I know that this isn't true, and perhaps I even come and confess about it. But the biggest karsa, the worst, is when I lie to myself and I begin to believe my lies and I live accordingly. This now I'm living in a delusion. I'm living in another world that's outside of reality, and I want everybody to believe, and I'll lie to everyone to make them believe that this false image of myself is the true reality. This bet is scary, because now I'm lying to myself and now I believe the lie. And when I live like this, we become sons of the liar. And who is the liar? The father of lies. Right? We know who he is. Also, perhaps God chose Jonah to show that God is able to transform our mistakes into salvation. The sailors, for example, who were with Jonah, Jonah made the big mistake here. He didn't listen to God, and he tried to run from him. Part of his disobedience to God, he got on this ship that was going the opposite direction, right? And when he was on this ship, he met these sailors. And when the winds and the seas became boisterous, everyone began to pray to their God. And Jonah didn't. Then when they finally urged him and said, "Pray to your God," and when he said, "I know why this is happening, this is why, and if you throw me overboard, the seas will be calm," right? And Phelan, they really didn't want to throw him over because they were good people, but because he insisted, they threw him overboard, right? And then what happened? The seas became calm. And then what did they say? "Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows." So now these men, these sailors that were with him, they cried to their God and their God didn't answer. When Jonah cried to his God, what happened? He answered, right? So then they feared his God. So even through the mistake of Jonah, he was able to let people believe. God was able to lead people to believe. Sometimes we feel that I don't want to share my faith for many different reasons. And maybe I'll make a mistake or I'll say the wrong thing, right? But this didn't stop God from working with Jonah. So God can work even within our mistakes. And this is the beauty of working with God. How many of us can work in our companies and make continual mistakes and the company still be happy with you. Habibi, you keep losing money. We can't do this. Get it straight, or we'll find somebody that can. The world doesn't tolerate this kind. But God can. God can. As long as there's a sincere heart to desire to do what is right. The same thing happened with Philemon, who was a disciple of St. Paul. He had a slave whose name was Onesimus. And this slave disobeyed the law of the land at the time and ran away from his master. And when he ran away from his master, he went to Rome, happened to run into St. Paul. St. Paul preached him, baptized him, made him a Christian. But then he said, well, in order for you to stay here and serve with me, you have to go get the blessing and permission of your master so we can abide by the Roman law. So he sent him back to his master Philemon with a letter. And that letter is what you read in the Bible, the letter of St. Paul to Philemon, right? And in this letter, he supplicates Philemon to accept him and have him return to him. So we see here, even in the mistake of Onesimus and running from his master, God still used this for his salvation and perhaps the salvation of those he would share in the ministry. Also, God perhaps chose Jonah because he wanted to reveal to us that our healing comes only through obedience. Our healing comes only through our obedience. Jonah had a problem with loyalty and had a problem with love for the people of God. He wasn't really loyal to the mission from God, and nor did he really feel the love towards all the people. Perhaps it was to his people and the Jews, but not towards the rest of the Gentiles, the non-believers. And God wanted to reveal to him this weakness so he can be clean. And we see the blatant disobedience in the beginning, followed by the obedience in the end of the book, although be it reluctantly. But this shows us the healing of man. If it was through disobedience that man fell, it ought to be through obedience to God that man is saved, right? So we see this also as a theme of this book, that it's only through obedience that salvation was granted. So this is you and I's, question or test today. You know, are we going to disobey as our mother Adam and Eve and father Adam and Eve and he did, or will we choose to obey, Jonah in the end? Also, when we read last week about the healing of the man born blind, what did God or Christ tell the man to do after he anointed his eyes? Go and wash in the pool of Siloam. He gave him a command. Had he disobeyed and not washed, he would not have been healed. Right? Had Naaman the Syrian not listened to Elijah and went to the river and dipped himself in the river, he would have not been healed, right? So it must be through obedience that we are healed. Lastly, perhaps God used Jonah because Jonah reflects the attitude of many of the believers. Jonah's life perhaps reflects the attitude of many of us believers. What is this attitude? That sometimes we want to bottle up the blessings for ourselves. We have the diamond in the rough, and we want to keep it to ourselves. We have the truth of the gospel, and we want to keep it to ourselves. Believe me when I tell you, there are many people in the world who are lost and dying for the truth, and have searched many places for the truth and have not found it. Right? But yet we have been fortunate enough to have the truth, and yet we don't share it, for whatever reason. I want to take you back to 9th century Nineveh, of when this story happened with Jonah. This was one of those types of cities that you would not want to live near. It was a very, the people that inhabited the city were very godless, very wicked, and they were very violent. Just to give an example of how violent they were, and most of this violence was directed towards the surrounding nations, but they were so cruel, perhaps more than even nowadays. They would take their enemies, and then once they've killed them, they would fillet them and hang their skin. See how bad this was? It was very bad. It's horrible. So these were like savage people. So when God tells them to go and preach to them, imagine, and he put ourselves kid in World War II, right? And then somebody comes and says, Habibi, I want you to go and preach to the Germans about the Lord Jesus Christ.
No way.
Atauni, right? They're going to cut me in pieces and hang me to dry, all right? This was the message that God wanted Jonah to do. He wanted to go and to these kinds of, you know, these kinds of people. And this, actually, we see this when the king gives the repentance in Jonah 3. We see here the idea or how bad these people were. He says, let not man or beast be covered with sackcloth and cry, or let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. So the king here knew that the people were very violent people. But part of the repentance is let them not be violent anymore. And he gave the command for them to put on sackcloth and ashes and to repent. This was the time of Jonah. Sometimes we don't want to share our faith because we're scared. Perhaps this was the feeling of Jonah. Perhaps this is our feeling. Perhaps we'll feel like, okay, I'm shy about sharing my faith because I don't know much about it. Share your experiences. Said many times before, St. Paul, when he began to preach by experience. Yes, later in his letters, there was a lot of theology and dogma and so on. But in the beginning, it was sharing with the non-believers of his conversion, how God changed his life, how God touched his life, how now when I became a Christian, I'm not walking like the old man, but I'm walking like trying to walk like the new man. So he shared this. Today, God wants us to understand that his desire is that all nations be saved and sit at his table. God willing, next week we'll see about what is offered at this table in next week's gospel. To him be the glory forever.